Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Eagles Way Church. We're glad that you're here. It's an exciting time of year for me. I hope it is for you. We got football coming up next week. I'm really pumped about that. Sit down, Chris. But I'm glad you're here today. If you're a member, we just welcome you back. If you're new, I just want to tell you you're in a great place. I've been gone the past 2 weeks. I have been out of town at a wedding, and Lindsay and I went on vacation, and I had a member shoot me a text asking me if I was all right. And what I can tell you about that is people here care. People here care about you. They care about what you're doing. They're not going to bug you to death, but everybody here cares for you and want to see you here. So welcome. Let's stand and let's worship.
Expectations. desperate for your touch, a glimpse of heaven, the glory of your Son. In a moment you can turn a life around, forever to be found in you. And I am reaching out to find, there's nothing is like fire, burns for all to see. My only desire is to worship at your feet. So let this fire consume my life. Let your love take me. Worship. cross I surrender. Oh, Jesus, I belong to you.
Thank you, Father. So the next song, we sing a good bit. It's No Longer Slaves, but I just want to tell you a story. I met this couple on an airplane a few weeks ago, and they were from Tennessee. Really cool. Matter of fact, we talked for 4 hours. Lindsay was like, "You talked the whole flight," and I was like, "Yeah, we did." And before we went down to St. John, there had been a tropical storm. It was not this one that just hit, but there was one before that went through Cancun and all. And it started on the islands there. Well, this couple had rented a boat, and they were on a boat for 7 days. And I could tell by looking at them how traumatic that it was. And the lady was like, "Man, the waves were crashing over the boat. We couldn't see. There was lightning everywhere." And they said this lasted for like 10 hours. The next story she told me was that she had been down there the last time. And when they took off, an engine blew. And, you know, she said everybody was freaking out, but they landed safely in Puerto Rico. And I went on the spill of, you know, I work for Delta, so I know the maintenance, and I know the pilots are trained to land those flights in those situations. And, you know, as I talked to her, I was like, "Would you come back here? I can't believe." And she's like, "I would do it in a heartbeat." And I've thought about that couple a lot. I never even got their names or anything. And I didn't really go down the spiritual talk of where her faith came from and things like that. But I thought, you know, I'm going to use that lady's faith of not having any fear. You know, a lot of people, if an engine blew, they're not getting back on an airplane. You know, they're not going to do it. Well, she was sitting there right with me on a Delta plane just talking to me. And I asked her about the boat situation. She was like, "It was awesome. But that was scary." She said it was scary. And I'm just going to use her fearless heart that she had, and having faith in God in moments like that, when you could just, you know, you could just say, "Oh my gosh, I can never do that again." But you know what? We serve a God who loves us, who cares for us, who is with us all the time, and we should be fearless because of that. And I learned from that lady how fearless she was, and it's just something I'm going to take, and I hope you can take that going forward on anything. If there's something that's bothering you, something you said, I could never do that again. Take that step of faith sometimes and do it. And do it. Let's worship.
Will you unravel me with a melody? Will you surround me with song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone? I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called. Thank you. of a father. I am surrounded by songs of deliverance. We've been liberated from our bondage. We're the sons and the daughters. Let us sing our freedom. Ooh. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
Isn't it so good to be able to walk through each day with Him so all over us and in us and around us, constantly flowing and never, ever, ever stops, and to actually be fearless. That's something that's unfolding just like all of His truth are constantly unfolding, just like all of these songs mean something deeper and richer every time we sing them. I was talking to Buren a little while ago about this song called Broken Vessels. And he mentioned that the arrangement of this song makes it more relevant to today. And it makes me so thankful that I'm not who I was yesterday, a week ago, a month ago, last year, each day. The awakening and the unfolding of His presence in my life. Can't you stand there and be so thankful that you are not who you were? You are not your past. That we are here in this moment and we can see. And we can see His love. And we can see His presence. Thank you for raising us up each day, for being so ever present.
All these pieces broken and scattered, mercy gathered, mended and whole. Empty-handed, but not
Aren't you glad that you've been awakened to the goodness of God? Oh my goodness, awesome. Hope you got your bulletin that has a connection card in it. Thank you for those of you that have been filling that out and communicating with us, signing up for different things or writing prayer requests on the back. That is the way that we correspond with you and you correspond with us, letting you know kind of what's going on. So please continue to do that. Know that this Wednesday night is the last session with Discovering Your Sacred Self. or Awakening Your Sacred Self. And it's kind of going to be a Q&A time. And we would, if you have a question, you're going to be here Wednesday night and have a question that you would like answered, you can go ahead and write that question on your back of your connection card. And we will make sure that Dr. Ralph gets that and we can answer that question. And then the following Wednesday night will be First Wednesday. So make sure that you make those plans.
Good morning. That's everybody. Everybody that's here. Where's everybody else at? Ain't God good? I love that song because it said that, you know, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. See, we saw ourselves as wretched. We weren't wretched. We just saw ourselves as wretched. God never sees you as wretched. He sees you as who you really are. We saw ourselves as wretched. I once was blind, now I see. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I always quote my good buddy Mike Oliver this time of every year. Brandon already quoted it a little bit, but Mike always tells me, he says, Buren, your pastoring's going to be easy the rest of the year. Football season's here, and all is going to be good. People are in good spirits. You're not going to have nearly the problems you had the first half of this year. Everything's going to be so much better. And he was so right all that time. This time of year, just things get better. I had two phone calls Friday. I answered the call, and God said, I just want to call and tell you some good stuff. Man, I'm going to tell you how good things are in my life right now. I said, well, thank you. About 5 minutes later, after I hung up, somebody else called me and said, man, you're the second one who called me today, and all you're telling me is good stuff. It's football season. Things are really doing well. But see, I really know it's more than that. I really know what it really is. Now, this morning, I'm excited. Now, I hope you come expecting to hear something from the Lord. You know, if you come expecting to hear something, you'll hear something. I can be as boring as watching grass grow, and if you will come expecting, you'll get something. You will get something from the Lord if you come expecting it. All right? So, you're going to get a little vintage Buren and a little new Buren this morning. You're going to takes things out of my treasure, things old and things new. Try to merge them together and get us a word from the Lord. You ready? Yeah. All right, I'm tell you where this word came from because this is straight out of heaven. Now, I hope all of them straight out of heaven, but you'll see what I mean in a minute. I put Mike to bed the other night, and I propped his feet up and gave him his meds. And we have our little moment. I love you. Love you too, man. And I'm walking down the hall. Wasn't thinking about anything spiritual, wasn't thinking about Sunday morning, wasn't thinking about nothing. I was actually thinking about making me a drink and sitting down and chilling. About middle ways down the hall, I said almost, I don't know if I didn't hear it, but it was so loud, heard this phrase. And I stopped in my track when he said it because I almost turned around to see if somebody spoke this to me. And I'm standing in the middle of the hall and this phrase come to me, perfection is in the eye of the beholder. And I thought, wow, I know that love is in the eye of the beholder. I've heard that many, many times. It's kind of a phrase we all came up with, right? Love is in the eyes of the beholder. How could you love that animal? Love is in the eyes of the beholder. I mean, some people have animals. How do they love that? But they do. I had taken out to a car the other day, and this person is just so in love with this animal, and I'm looking at that animal going, how are you in love with that animal? How do you love that thing? You see, love is in the eye of the beholder. Perfection is in the eye of the beholder. About a year ago, Joe, I was talking with Alan, and I'm always bragging about my grandkids, and he's heard me say so much about them. Alan looked at me, and he said, Buren, I get your grandkids are just perfect, aren't they? I said, yep. In the eye of the beholder, they are. In the eye of the beholder, they are. In God's eyes beholding you, you're perfect. You don't see yourselves that way, but he sees you that way. And when we, then see, that's what, so I've come to realize that Sunday mornings has become this to me. I come to give God this praise and worship because of where he's brought me in all these years. I come to acknowledge him and give him homage because of the revelation he keeps giving me year in and year out, and how it gets better and better and better and better and better. I just have to praise him. I just have to thank him for those things. And so there's not going to be any scriptures on the screen this morning. You're just going to follow me. If you want to write some stuff down, write it down. But I'm going to read some scriptures, quote some scriptures. I don't know what we're going to do. We're just going to do it. All right, you're ready to go. You see, when he said that to me, I went and sat down. I took my notebook and I started writing down some scriptures. He was given to me quicker than I could write them down. And I was just being so grateful to God. And I was thanking him for this message, because at the time that he gave it to me, I didn't have anything for today. And I always like to be at least a week ahead, at least in my heart and spirit, knowing a little bit what I'm going to talk about in the days to come. And then I develop it over a period of time. But I didn't have anything, see. And I just sat down and he started pouring into me. And I'm writing these scriptures down as fast as I could go. And he's just giving it to me and giving it to me and giving it to me. And I just said, thank you, God. Thank you, God. And he spoke back to me again. He said, You just took care of me, I'll take care of you. You just took care of me, I'll take care of you. Because, see, I realized a long time ago that my anointing doesn't come from praying. I didn't get what I got from praying. I tell you where it came from: cutting grass on High Falls Road, cleaning church on High Falls Road, cleaning toilets on High Falls Road. Serving is where it really comes from. When you do stuff for other people, do it to the least of these, Jesus said, you've done it unto me. And so in Ephesians chapter 1, he says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. He predicted before you were born. You see, you weren't a mistake. No matter if your mother had no intention in having you, you were not a mistake. You were ordained of God to be born into the family you were born into. You were born of God to be placed. See, you need to listen to Garth Brooks' song, Mom. Garth Brooks got this revelation, and he sings this song about a spirit that's in heaven. And he's talking to the spirit and telling him this: he's got to go to earth, and this lady's waiting on him to be his mama. And the baby doesn't want to go. Then spirit just doesn't want to go. But the song says that if you'll just go and if you'll be good, if you'll live out da 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 da, he says, you're going to come back to me. You're going to come back to me. Okay. Y'all don't like Garth Brooks. We'll talk about somebody else. All right. So here's the deal. The Bible says when we die, the body goes back to the, this is funeral stuff I do, but I'm going to do it live. Okay. When we die, the body goes back to the dust from which it came, but the spirit returns to God who gave it. The spirit returns. You always have been and always will be. You always have been and you always will be. And he said he chose us in him before we were born to be without fault in his eyes. And so God said, I predicted that to happen. And then not only he predicts it to happen, but in Ephesians chapter 2, he persists in telling us about this. He says, so you're saved by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done. None of us can boast about it. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, and we can do good things that he's planned for us a long time ago. You can do this. You can perform this because I said you would. Is that good or not? So he predicted it, and he's persistent in keeping reminding me about it. And I like this one. He said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. He gave it up his life for her to make her holy and clean and washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present to himself a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or blemish. He predicted it to be. He persisted in telling us about it, reminding us about it, so he could present us to himself. And this is how he sees you. Isn't that good? This is good stuff. And so I started thinking about a lot of scriptures in the Word that it's just good stuff. Just good stuff. I know where I'm going. You just got to let me find the road I want to go down right now. Isaiah 6 says, in the year that King Uzziah died, he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up in the temple. And his train filled the temple, and there were seraphims and angels and all this stuff going around. And all of a sudden, the voice came out of the throne. It says, the earth is filled with the glory of God. Not going to be filled. The earth is filled with the glory of God. Now, let me jump way ahead. Glory is simply God's presence. Glory is simply the presence of God in our lives. And so he says, the earth is filled with the glory of God. Then Isaiah said, oh man, I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm a man among a wretched nation of unclean lips. And the angel went over to the coals of the altar, He took coals off the altar, didn't wash his mouth out with soap, touched the coals of the altar on his lips. Better watch what you say, you may get burned. Touch his lips, and what he's saying is, you're cleansed. Don't say that anymore. Don't speak like that anymore. Don't talk like that anymore. That's not who you are. That's not who my people are. You are not that. You got to see yourself as somebody else. Now, how this happens, the Bible says in John 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were created by Him, and without Him there was not made anything that was made. In Him was life, and His life was the light of men. The light shined in the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it. He came into his own received him not, but as many as did receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to as many that believed on his name. He said, and we were reborn, not of the flesh, but of the spirit. We were reborn, brought back to where we originated from, to see things from a heavenly perspective. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Three words you got to understand. Grace is God's unmerited favor. That's great. But grace is charming. Grace is winsome. You see, to the Greek, when they said the word grace, they didn't think about unmerited favor. They thought about something that was so charming and beautiful. Jesus came to show us how charming and beautiful God is. And he came in the truth of that. And he came in the glory of that. And then after that, this same John who just said all of that tells how he was baptizing people. And he's looked up and someone was coming toward him. And John says, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He didn't say takes away the sins, plural, of the world. He takes away the sin of the world. And the word sin he uses as armatia, missing the mark. He says, you don't have to miss the mark and hit the bullseye. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, so you don't have to always be missing the mark. You don't have to always be coming up short. You don't have to always not have it together. You don't have to live that way. And then in John chapter 17, Jesus says to God, pray that this is really Jesus' prayer. Jesus' prayer was not the Lord's prayer. That was the disciples' prayer, how they should pray, because Jesus never had to pray like that, because everything that he told them to pray, he already had. He says, Father, I ask you to give them the same glory that you've given me. Give them the same glory that you've given me. Give them the same glory that you've given me. Now, how many know if Jesus asked for it, it happened? He said, give them the same glory that you've given me. Now, I'm going to jump ahead and jump back and forth probably a good bit. But see, to have the glory of God and to reflect the glory of God, you got to see the glory of God. And you got to see the glory of God. And what's difficult about this is you got to see it in other people. You got to see it in other people. Until you can see, the moon is just a reflection of the sun. It just reflects what the sun's shining. That's all it is, reflection of the sun. You're a reflection of somebody. You're a reflection of somebody or some people. There were people in my life that I wanted something from them because I saw something in them that I wanted. I'm not going to name them individually who they were. I just tell you what I wanted. There was a guy that I just really loved and liked a whole lot. And I wanted how he just had this confidence, but yet full of just kindness and love. And it just emanated from him. See, I was raised up Pentecostal, and I love Pentecostals. They have a way sometimes not showing forth a lot of love. They can get a little judgmental, a little legalistic, and you can be talked down on more than you talked up to. You can be told how terrible you are more than how good you are. And it's just, you know, he was Pentecostal, but he had this love about him. He reminded me of my uncle, Andrew, who was a Pentecostal pastor, but he was different. He had this, he couldn't preach without crying. He couldn't share God without crying. Matter of fact, he's the one who told me, he said, if you ever preach about hell, which I don't, but he said, if you do, do it with a tear in your eye. If you can't preach about hell with a tear in your eye, don't preach it. Don't talk about it. If you talk about it like you're glad people are going there, something's definitely wrong about that. Definitely wrong about that. And there was another guy I wanted so much. And I'm going to tell you what I had to do with this guy. This guy never gave me the time of day. I had to go after him with every fiber of my being. I had to go after him. And there was another man, and I wanted something he had. And I spent time enough with him because I wanted what he had. I'm going to get to a point in the morning, you'll see what I'm talking about. And there was somebody else, and I wanted what they had. I wanted what they had. Everything I've ever got in my life that was from God, I got it from somebody. Ooh. Good. Got it from somebody. And so there was a man, and his name was Elijah. And Elijah had gone through a lot, and he was not the prophet that you'd really want to be. I mean, you'd like to do some of the miracles, but you wouldn't want to live the life he had to live. And so he's in this most depressing time of his life. He is so depressed, he wants to die. He asked God to kill him. That's depressed, isn't it? So depressed, he wants to die. God finally ministers to him. And then he says this to Elijah. He says, Elijah, what are you doing here? Now, here was not necessarily a geographical place. What he was saying to Elijah, what are you doing here? What are you doing in this state of being? And then Elijah, God just does this miraculous thing. There's lightning, there's thunder, there's all this stuff going on. And said God wasn't in any of that because God's not into sensationalism. Some of you will get that when you go home. And God came in a still, small voice. Then he said again to Elijah, Elijah, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And Elijah said, all right, I'm going to tell you. See, God was trying to figure out. Now, God knew, but Elijah needed to know. You with me? How many know that God knew why Elijah was so downcast? God knew it, but he didn't know why. Because if you know why you're something, you can do something about it, right? Yeah. So, Elijah, this is what Elijah says. God, I am so depressed. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. I am so downcast because I'm the only one serving you. I'm the only one serving you. And God said, get up. There's 7,000 I've got that's never bowed their knee to Baal. You can't see them because you're so depressed you can't see them. You're so focused on yourself you can't really see them. Right? So he says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go to a place called Damascus. That's where Paul was in Damascus. And he was going about doing the things that he thought was the right thing to do. He was he was hauling Christians off the jail and was killing them. That's what Paul was doing. Thinking he's doing the will of God. He's on a road to Damascus. A bright light shines. It blinds him. And a voice comes and says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Wow. Me? Lord, I'm not persecuting you. I'm helping you. It's really what's going on. That's what he thinks going on. And he blinds him to his past to set him on a better path for the future. And he says, I want you to go to this place. He's led to a place, Ananias' house. And there, this Gentile, this believer, says, Brother Saul. And the Lord said to Ananias, said, he is my chosen vessel. The man who's hauling people off to jail and killing them, God said, is my chosen vessel. Wow. I don't think I'd have seen him as that, would you? He said, he's my chosen vessel. And so Elijah, he says, Elijah, go to Damascus and then go here and go there. And then I want you to go to this other place. And you're going to see this guy. And he's got oxen. It says there's 12 yoke of oxen. And he has one of them. He's plowing them in a field, which meant he was a very wealthy man. And he tells Elijah, go over. And Elijah goes to Elisha and just takes his cloak and just touches him with it and turns and walks off. And Elisha goes, whoo, something happened. And so Elisha looks at Elijah and he said, hold on, let me go kiss my mom and dad goodbye. I'm going with you. And Elijah just looks at him and goes, Elijah just hadn't got it still. Elijah looks at him and goes, I just did what I was told to do. I don't know. I just did what I was told to do. I don't know what you're talking about. Elisha goes back, kills the oxen, sacrifices to God, burns the vessel he was using. And he follows after Elisha. And for 11 years, he followed Elisha. When I preached that in India, Ken, and I said, Elisha followed Elijah for 11 years. And right after the message, Philip Papabatham came and says, Billen, what do you get? Elisha follows Elijah 11 years. Where do you get that, Billen? I said, I don't really know. I know I got it from somewhere, but I can't tell you right off where I got it from. Billen say, Elisha followed Elijah 11 years. Elisha followed Elijah 11 years. For true story. So all across South India, those pastors went back and said, Billen say, Elisha followed Elijah 11 years. But what I'm getting to is he followed him 11 years. He served him 11 years. One day, Elijah says, Elisha, stay here. I've got to go somewhere. And Elisha says, oh, no, I'm not staying here. I'm going after you. So they went from one place. I think they went to Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, stay here. Stop following me. Stop. In other words, stop bugging me. And Elisha said, as the Lord lives, as I live, I'm going to follow you. So he went from Gilgal to Bethel. Gilgal was a place of circumcision. Oh, this is vintage beer, and sometimes you need to circumcise your ears so you can hear, circumcise your heart so you can receive. So he went, then he says, he went to Bethel, which means the house of God. Sometimes you just can't get enough of the house of God, because that's where you're going to get to know who you really are. And Elijah said to Elisha, stay here. Elisha, I'm not going to stay here. And he follows him on to Jericho. And finally, some other prophets came up to Elisha and said to Elisha, don't you know that your master is going to be taken from you? Don't you know that? And I love Elisha's answer. I know that. Hush. I know that. And so he keeps following him. Finally, Elijah looks at Elisha and he says these words, what do you want? What do you want? Without batting an eye, Elisha looked at him and said, I want a double portion of your spirit. Not a double portion of God's spirit. Not a double portion of something intangible out here. I want what you got, but I want twice what you have. I want twice of what you have. I want twice of your spirit. And Elisha said, you're asking a hard thing. But if you see me, say see me. I don't know about you. I've heard a lot. I'm ready to see some stuff. Yeah. You, I want to see what I'm hearing. And so he says, if you see me when I'm taken up, if you see whatever this is going to happen to me, because they didn't really know what was going to happen. They had just been told something's going to happen that day. Well, there was a bunch of other prophets who didn't get to see. They didn't get to see. Elisha's the one who saw, because Elisha's the one who could give them the understanding that ain't no sense in going looking for him. He ain't here. He's gone. But they went searching for him. Elisha said, don't go looking for him. He's not here. He's gone. Well, they're going to look for him anyway. They don't find him. Elisha said, I told you we're going to find him. He's gone. And so he's coming back to the Jordan River and he takes the cloak. And he's, I always like this. He just pops the water and says, where's the God of Elijah? And the water's parted. Elisha goes across and he goes on and does twice the miracles that Elijah ever did. Twice the miracles that he ever did, because he pressed through to see. Job said, Lord, I heard my ears, but now I see with my eyes. Now I see with my eyes. And see, until I see it, what I hear is one thing. What I see is something else. He saw and he got. He saw and he got. And he saw it and he got it. And sometimes you got to see it with the eyes of faith. As kiddies, you come in. There's a story when David, he becomes king. He's king of Israel. And one of the first things he does, first executive order David gives, is there anybody in the house of Jonathan left that I can show kindness to? He said, well, there's this guy. His name is Mephibosheth. He's from Lodibar, which means no pasture. And his name means shameful. He's crippled in both feet. And David brings him into his house. And he sets him at his table. Because when you're sitting at the king's table, all your brokenness and your shame is not seen. It's hid up under the table. And so the Bible says that Mephibosheth ate regularly, not just once in a while. He ate regularly at the king's table. And the Bible says he became fruitful, had kids, had servants. And then it said again at the end of that chapter, and Mephibosheth ate regularly at the king's table. He had to be told regularly on a regular basis, you're not them feet. You're not shameful. You're not without pasture. You're not who other people have said you are. And you're not who you say you are. Because he ate continually, regularly at the king's table. I have to do that. I don't know about you. I have to do that. See, I went to return something to Penny and Terry. And I walked in and Terry's lying there. And gosh, just filled with glory. All I could see was glory, peace, joy, just glory. That's all I could see. I just started cutting up with him and just smiling, like dying of dementia. And he's just filled with glory. Part of it's because he's really a great guy. But that wasn't it. He was reflecting your glory. He was reflecting what was being done to him, for him, the care for him. It wasn't his glory, it was your glory that he was reflecting. And therefore it became his glory, but it came from you. See, everybody's reflection of somebody else. You're just a reflection of somebody else. He said there was this old covenant See, that's why I look at Mike. He's so filled. And it ain't me. I ain't going there. He just reflects Barbara's glory. He's just a reflection of her glory. And that's why he's so upbeat. That's why him and Terry and people like that and Penny make me want to kick people in the rear end. Say, wake up. 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 Please wake up. See, there was a glory of an old covenant, but it was a fading glory. There was a new glory that came. There was an AC glory, BC glory, and an AC glory. See, I don't go BC before Christ and AD after death. I go BC before Christ and AC after Christ. There was a BC glory and there's an AC glory. There's a BC glory and there's an AC glory. I like the AC glory. And I reread that and I restudied that this week. I like it when I think I know it all. And then God just opens it up and shows me something. I love that. I'm going there. I'm just going to rehearse it. I just want to remind myself of what I already know. And I get the reading and I go, whoa, whoa. I never seen that. Behold as in a mirror. I behold as in a mirror. I behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. And I'm changed from glory to glory. And I really studied that out. And I used to think that that was a different degree of glory, that I would go from this glory to another glory to another glory. You just need to be reminded that you're already glorious and you're going to have to be reminded you're going to another glory. I'm just being reminded I'm already glorious. And I keep reminding myself, I keep seeing the fact of who I really am. And I go from glory to glory to glory to glory as I reflect in the mirror. The glory of God. I know I've said it so many times, I'm going to keep saying it. Because I have to remind myself, I got to see the glory of God. Man, while you was talking up there, Brandon, I just saw the glory of God. I love seeing the glory of God in other people. I love seeing the glory of God in other people. Amen. Until you can see the glory of God in other people, you can't reflect the glory of God. You got to see it. You got to see it. And that was his purpose. He said, it created us in his own likeness, in his own image. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says, we've been given a minister of reconciliation. And not seeing people after the flesh, but after the spirit. You're ambassadors for Christ to go and do that. And says, when you see people, tell them to come back to God. Come back to where you originated. Come back to where you came really from. Come back. Come back. Doesn't that sound a whole lot better than saying, you don't want to go to hell, do you? Come back to God. Come back to where you originated from. That's where you came from. That's who you really are. And that's what being born again is all about. Being enlightened, being brought back to the place of where you came from. That you see things now from a heavenly perspective and not an earthly perspective. Let's stand together. Help me to understand this scripture that I never have. I'll be honest with you, until this week, I never understood this scripture. Every time I'd quote it, I have little conversations with God, because this is the scripture says, if you can't love your brother whom you have seen, how can you love God whom you have not seen? That has never made sense to me. I mean, I've gotten these conversations with God. God, that's easy to love you whom I've never seen. Because my brother whom I have seen, I see some stuff that ain't lovable. You with me? If you can't love your brother whom you have seen, how can you love God whom you have not seen? And I just struggle with that. Lord, I don't understand that. It's easy to love you. I've never seen you do anything wrong. never seen you do anything bad. With me? But he says, when you can see people the way I see people, is the key. Because they are created in the likeness and the image of God. And it's easy for me sometimes to see, you know, it's easy for me to see perfection in my grandkids. And it's not going to be that easy for you. But it's easy for me. It's easy for me. I said, God can't even see what I see in my grandkids because he's not a granddaddy. He's only a daddy. He's not a grandfather. He never knows what it is to be a grandfather. So he doesn't even know the love I got. I see them as perfect. We got to see everybody through the eyes of the Spirit. Through the eyes of the Spirit. And that's why I can look at Mike and reflect the glory of God. I can reflect the glory of God. Isaiah, don't say that anymore. Don't say those things anymore. I'd like to tell you I've arrived and I've got it, but I haven't. I have to still come to the table. I got to eat regularly from this thing because I see some people that don't look like glory. They don't look like, they don't act like. So I'm tempted not to see them right. Right? It's persistency. Keep reminding yourself who other people are. You weren't born in sin. The little baby's not born in sin. That baby's is trained to live the life that they live. They're all brought up right. You know, there's going to be a generation, I believe this, going to be a generation that's going to go from birth through life without knowing anything other than God. Not knowing any other life but God's life. And they're going to have a hard time giving you a date when they were saved. They're going to have a hard time giving you a date they were born again, because from the crib, all they've known is the goodness of God. That's all they've been taught, is the goodness of God. And that's all they see themselves as, the goodness of God. Amen. I don't know about you, but I was raised great, but I wasn't quite raised that great. There's a generation that's being told that, being taught that. And that baby you got coming can know nothing but God all its days. And when we sing the song Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch, a little baby gonna go, wretch? I ain't never been a wretch. What's a wretch? I mean, can you imagine? They're 12 years old and they're singing that song. Daddy, what's a wretch? Well, it's what you. I ain't not been a wretch. You told me I've only been this all my life. That's all I am. That's all I know. I'm good. God's in me. I'm a child of God. I have no fear. Wow. Paul walked in darkness for 3 days. Because God was going to let him know there's going to be a resurrection in your life. And when those eyes open this time, you're going to see those people that you've been persecuting totally different than you see them now. Totally different than you see them now. I want you to bow your head, and you're here this morning, and you say, I've never really seen myself the way you're talking, but I want to start seeing myself that way. Just lift up your hand and hold it up for a moment and look at me. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. Anybody? Yes. Yes. Yes, 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 1,000 times yes. I want to start seeing myself like that. Going to take a little discipline. Going to take a little. Yeah. But you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. I encourage you to eat regularly at the king's table. Keep them old crippled feet up under that table. Keep them out of sight, because that's not who you are. That's not who you are. Father, I thank you. Thank you that, Lord, you said those you called, you justified, those you justified, you glorify. And if you be for us, who can be against us? Let every person here begin, Lord, to see the world, to see each other, to reflect the glory that they can reflect from other people. In Christ's name, amen.
You may be seated as our ushers are preparing to receive our mornings, tithes, and offerings and alms. Thank you for your faithfulness. God's a good God all of the time. Some of you noticed that our children were in here during worship and slipped in and out. We had a couple of teachers that weren't here, but probably the biggest reason is I let my teachers know that the AC up in the youth or children's church was no longer working. So they said, well, we're going to go back and forth then. I said, not a problem. You can do that. So we've had this summer 3 units go out already that have been replaced. And because of your faithfulness, that has taken place. We have 2 more that are out. One is in here and one is upstairs. One of the ones upstairs is under warranty, so it'll be fixed Monday and it'll get us through. So if God leads you to give to that, you are more than welcome to do that. It is possible, if not, that we may push that till the springtime because the heat is still working, we'll go that route. So your faithfulness to the house of God in person, in body, being here, is huge. You bring with you what is needed for the entire body to glean from. So you see somebody that's not here, shoot them that text, right, Brandon? Say, hey,
that's right.
Missed you. Shoot them that text saying, hey, we try not to condemn anyone for not being here, but we try to encourage all to be here. It's important to be in the house of God. This morning is also alms morning that we emphasize. Now, each and every day, a lot of you give online and you put on there, I'm going to give so much to alms or what have you, and that is fine. You continue to do that. Over half of you give online. But seeing people come and give into this box, knowing that we are touching people's lives in this community. Rushton Hope, we feed every month over 300 people a meal to get them by that weekend. Those funds are used to help people's lights stay on. We give to the food pantry. We give to the soup kitchen. So your giving makes a difference. I'm emphasizing even a little more this month because we are in need. We've had one particular family that we've needed to help, and we've done that. And we have another family that we're wanting to help. But we need about $1,500 to come into alms in order for that to take place. So as God leads you to give, give, because you will be blessed. Stan, I'm going to pray over the offering. And that's going to come in, and then we're going to worship as if you want to come to the box that you can. Lord, we love you. Thank you, Lord, that we can come and give our gifts, our talents, our tithes, our offerings, our alms. That, Lord, you surely give back to us. And we're grateful for that. In Jesus' name.
I'm not going to divulge some information, but there's someone I want to invest in this week that is hasn't been here in a long, long time. It's got some difficulties they're going through in life. And I just feel totally impressed to meet this need. It's a pretty big need, but I just feel like if we do this and we invest, we show that we care still, something really good's going to come out of that.
So whatever you can do today in alms, thank you. Bless you. Bless you.
Will you unravel me with a melody? Will you surround me with song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone? I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have